Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the swine flu vaccine when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child on planet Earth. Today, it's down to less than 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, but then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support the Global 2000 Population Reduction Program. Now, globalization may be good for business, but globalization is bad for you, and it's bad for me. Back in 1940, we all had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a full year. Today, we have a three-day supply in our refrigerators, and we believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all forever. But over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a one-year food supply for 3 days. Now, these global 2,000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so says the Club of Rome. Now, these evil madmen with their global 2,000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause and let you and I live for hours. Let me show you from the scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. Now, if you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package first. That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Now, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and it's free of charge. And you can call and order one right now. The number's 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult homesteading. And if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, and download that free general law CD package right off of our webpage. That's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the swine flu. They've been hyping this swine flu now for the last year, pretty hot and heavy. Now, 2 or 3 years ago, we had this thing called the avian flu. And then it's been upgraded now to the swine flu, and now they're talking about required vaccinations. Every night on the news, there's a story about this flu and this flu vaccine. But should you get the flu shot? That's the story. Should you get it? So, look, first of all, you have two-thirds of the population on aspartame, which interacts with all vaccines. And secondly, the Center for Disease Control has admitted that this is not the same strain as the flu that is here. Now, of course, it couldn't be. It's made from last year's flu vaccine. So even if someone wasn't using aspartame, all it can do is give you the flu. Remember on the last program, I said 43% of all the people who are going to get the flu vaccine are going to get the flu. 43%. So if you raise that 7 percentage points, it would be like flipping a coin. They're only 7 percentage points short of flipping a coin. And I pointed out to you last time, the 57% that don't get the flu, even after they've had the flu vaccine, does not prove that the vaccine prevented them from getting the flu, because most people don't ever get the vaccine, and they don't ever get the flu. I'm one of them. I've never had a flu vaccination, and I've never gotten the flu. Now, that shows that my immune system is strong enough to ward it off. It isn't because that the flu virus isn't out there. Hell, I'm breathing it and living in it just like you and everybody else. Now, you can take a room full of people, and you can come in there with somebody that's got the flu or a cold or some communicable disease, and they'll come in and sneeze and hack and whack and so on. And some people in the room will get sick. But not everybody. Now, why doesn't everybody get sick? And the answer is because their immune systems are strong enough to ward it off, which is what I mentioned to you last time. You know, the logical thing to do is to concentrate on your immune system. Now, there's a number of ways. We'll talk about strengthening your immune system. And we'll see if we can't come up with an alternative that actually works. Now, look, I'm 70 years old, and I've never had the flu and never had a flu shot. God, I've got to be doing something right. And what I'm doing is I'm practicing these 19 scriptural health laws. Now, I do a little bit more than that. I also eat a little differently than most people. And I avoid a lot of things that a lot of people do. Like, I don't smoke, and I don't drink. to excess, I drink a little. But I don't smoke, and I'm pretty cautious and pretty careful about what I put into my mouth and where I eat. You know, just a little common sense thing. Now, going on, he says, on an Ohio radio show, a doctor stated that if you have taken the flu shot more than 8 times in the last 10 years, you have increased your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease by 80%. Since aspartame is escalating Alzheimer's anyway, and memory loss is so prevalent with aspartame, it's like number 9 on the FDA list of 92 symptoms. People won't have a chance. Now, I've done a program or two here on aspartame. If you go back in our archives and take a look here, I think you can take a look at aspartame. It has 92 symptoms associated with it. That's that artificial sweetener. It's got several trade names. And if you're eating that artificial sweetener, it's a poison. It's putting toxin in your body, and then your immune system has to deal with that. Now, while your system is dealing with that poison, now along comes the flu virus. Now, what's worse is you go out and get a flu shot, now you put the live virus right into your body. Now, if you're doing the aspartame routine, and then you put the live virus in your body, you know, how much can your immune system take? And there's a limit there somewhere, isn't there? Now, like diehard fans camping out overnight to be the first in line for concert tickets to their favorite performer, people are waiting now in long lines hoping to get the flu vaccine. It's that time of year. Flu season and the media and government have stirred the public into complete panic mode. Headlines flood newspapers reading vaccine shortage leads public crisis, and on the hour radio broadcasts are bombarding the public with reports that the flu epidemic is coming and there aren't enough vaccines to fight it. God, it's the perfect sales pitch. And that's what I heard tonight on the news. There won't be enough vaccine. So they're gonna ration the little bit they've got. Boy, that gets people excited, doesn't it? Now, all we need now is an outbreak. What we need is an outbreak. In 1918, they started vaccinating the soldiers. What they did was they gave the flu to the soldiers. Then the soldiers went out and spread it around to everybody that they came into contact with. Then as time progressed along, the thing got totally out of hand. Now, I don't know if they intended it to get out of hand or not, but it certainly did. Now, we haven't had anything like this 1918 Spanish flu, but I suspect that this is what they're engineering. I suspect it. Now, it's becoming increasingly difficult to separate facts from the hype being created by the media and the government officials. In order to make an informed decision of whether or not to get this flu shot, it's of importance to you to do your homework. Now, this involves doing thorough research of the safety issues surrounding the flu vaccination, and then learning the preventative measures against getting the flu in the first place. Now, those of us that don't get the flu and aren't concerned about it are people that have strong immune systems and work on their immune system, as opposed to smoking and drinking and chasing wild women, and to hell with your immune system and let's go down and get a shot. It's like getting in line. Yes, go get in line and go get a Big Mac and fries. Now, there's a target market here for this flu vaccine. It's the elderly and children. Now, generally, the flu vaccine is recommended for people age 65 and older, and to those with serious medical conditions that could quickly worsen as a result of serious complications from the flu. Reports from medical journals widely vary in the effectiveness for the elderly. It ranges from 0 to 85%. Zero, that means you go down and get your shot and then you get the flu, up to 85%, depends on who you are and where you're at. And they'll say, well, see, this protected 85% of the people. Now, if you go down and get your flu shot and you come down with the flu, you know what you're going to say? Can you imagine how sick I'd be if I hadn't got my flu shot? And yeah, I can't. If you hadn't got your flu shot, you'd be well and you wouldn't have got the flu to start with, because that's where you got it. It was the shot. Remember, they're vaccinating you with the live virus. Now, if the thing works right, your immune system will be at a level that it can ward off the virus. Well, hell, if your system was strong enough to ward off the virus to start with, then you didn't need to stick it into your arm, did you? You could have just waited until the natural virus or somebody came and sneezed in your face. And if your immune system was strong enough to ward off the injection, it would have been strong enough to ward off the sneeze in your face, now wouldn't it? Now, let's think about that for a second. Hang on here a second. Wake up. You're sitting here, you're saying to yourself, gee, I don't know if I'm going to get the flu or not. Should I go get the vaccine? So they tell you, well, if you get the vaccine, then you won't get the flu when somebody sneezes in your face. All right? So you go down and you get the shot. Then you go to work and somebody sneezes in your face. And sure enough, you do not get the flu. And you say to yourself, well, see, I got the vaccine. Bob sneezed in my face and I didn't get sick. And so you credit the vaccine for protecting you from Bob who sneezed in your face. But we don't know that the vaccine did that, because we know that 43% of the people that get the vaccine get the flu, which makes all the sense in the world. That's what happened the last time in 1918 and 19. They're out vaccinating people, and hell, half the people got the flu. Their immune systems were weak. Now remember, in the whole world population, half the people in the world never got vaccinated and never got the flu. Their immune systems were strong enough to ward it off. Half the people got the flu, only 10% of those died. Their immune system was strong enough that after they got the sickness, their body was still able to ward it off, defeat it, and they didn't die from it. That's good. All right, now let's take a look at you. Well, let's just take me. I'm sitting here right now today, and I'm just like you. I don't know if I'm going to get the flu. I'm not going to go down and get the shot. Because if I go down and get the shot, they're going to introduce the flu into my body. If my immune system is strong enough to ward it off, it'll do that. If it isn't, I will come down with the flu. So I don't need to deliberately give myself the flu to find out whether or not my immune system is strong enough to ward it off. So I'm just going to bide my time and wait until Bob sneezes in my face. All right? Sneezing in my face is about the equivalent of getting the vaccination. If I get sick, now I will know that my immune system was too weak to ward off the disease. But if I don't get the disease, then I'll know my system was strong enough to ward it off, which means I didn't need the virus shot to start with. Does it? All right. Now, if you'll think about it in that term or in those terms, there isn't any point in getting the vaccine, but there is a lot of point in building your immune system. Now, colloidal silver is a product. And actually, all it is little atoms of or molecules of suspended silver in water. And it's an antibacterial, antivirus, and antifungicide. I mean, it just kills on contact. So one of the first things that we do here is we take colloidal silver. When Bob sneezes in my face, I'm going to follow that up immediately with colloidal silver. So if you're taking a little colloidal silver, what they used to do in the old days, they put a silver dollar in a gallon of milk. I won't keep it forever, but it'll keep it from going sour longer. And that's because the silver is a bactericide. Silver. It's just that simple. Product built into the atmosphere by God himself, right into the environment. Tuck that one away in your heart. Now, the CDC reports that 90% of deaths from influenza occur among the elderly. These kinds of statistics make it nearly impossible to credit the flu vaccine for prolonging people's lives who are in this age group, because 65% of all deaths, regardless of the cause, occur among the elderly. So you got a group of people here where 65% of all deaths, period, are going to occur to people like me that are 70 or more. So if I die in the morning, don't be surprised. I'm old enough to die. And now if I get my flu vaccine and I die, it just helps the process along because I'm already old and my immune system doesn't work as well today as it did when I was 30. That's why I need to work hard to build my immune system because I'm already past my prime. My immune system isn't as good as somebody who's 30 years old, or at least it isn't supposed to be. Now, that being the case, then I got to work harder at building my immune system every year to make sure that my immune system can ward off the disease. Further, there are potential dangers in the flu vaccine itself, particularly to the already vulnerable elderly population. Dr. Hugh Fudenberg, one of the world's leading immunogeneticists, states the chances of getting Alzheimer's disease is 10 times higher if an individual has 5 consecutive shots than if they have 1, 2, or no shots. This is likely due to the thimerosal, which is a mercury-derived preservative and aluminum content of the vaccine. So those of us that are old, hey, wait a minute. Aluminum and mercury are heavy metals and they're poison. Now here I am 70 years old. My immune system is already impaired. Age has impaired it. Now, what in the hell do I want to go out and deliberately stick mercury and aluminum and formaldehyde into my veins for? Now, if you could get the flu vaccine without the aluminum, the mercury, and the formaldehyde, it probably would be bad for you, but it wouldn't be as bad for you. Now, I know a lot of people write to me and they say, but Mr. Gordon, why would they put that in there if it's bad for you? Excuse me, partner. Did you hear the ad that I put on when we started today's program? Have you ever heard of the Club of Rome? Have you ever heard of Global 2000? Do you understand that these people have a policy and agenda that they want to reduce the Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years? And if you haven't heard that story, I've put it on my program, and it's on our archives. Why don't you take a look here and pay attention to the agenda and who's behind the agenda? And then ask yourself, well, wait a minute, can that really be true? Or these people want to kill 90% of the people on planet Earth? Yep, that's the plan. That's the plan. All right, now the recommendations to give flu vaccinations to children were adopted on March 1, 2003. These recommendations include vaccinating children between 2 and 18 years old who live in households containing children younger than 2 years of age. The most common type of flu vaccine given to children is called Fluzone, with each dose containing 25 UGs of mercury. That's more mercury in each shot than the EPA allows in the atmosphere for people to breathe. And they just put it right into your veins, just mainlining it. Now, with each dose containing this 25 UGs of mercury, the CDC recommendations include administering this flu vaccine to children beginning at age 6 months of age, and then on an annual basis for the rest of their lives. And your immune system isn't up and running at full bore until you're 2 years old. Now, in Japan, they're having a big problem with crib death, sudden infant death syndrome. So they stopped vaccinating at 6 months and postponed it until 2 years, and the crib death toll was cut by 50%. Get this. The sudden infant death syndrome in Japan dropped 50% when they stopped vaccinating 6-month-old babies and waited till they were 2 years old. What would you do if you wanted to eliminate crib death in Japan? Mull that one over for a minute. Let's suppose that you're the grand poobah of Japan, chief medical officer. Somebody comes in and says, hey, we tried something here. We quit vaccinating babies until they're 2 years old. Crib death has gone down 50%. What do you think we could do, boss, to eliminate it altogether? What do you think would happen if you eliminated vaccination? Now, the same thing is true with autism. Autism didn't get started in this country until 1943. That's when somebody woke up and said, let's hang a label on this. Compulsory vaccinations, there were two of them, two vaccinations in 1932. Between 1932 and 1943, we saw some cases of autism show up. Here's the least common denominator. Between 1932 and today, all children are vaccinated. Well, nearly so. Now, in 1909, a doctor came up with this observation. In 1909, he said that he had not seen a single case of cancer in anyone who was not vaccinated. Now, today, in the United States, the cancer rate is 50%. That is, one person out of every two people in this country will get cancer at some time in his life. And by 2020, which is only 11 years away, they're predicting it'll be one out of one. Every single person in the country is going to get cancer in his lifetime. In 1909, one doctor came to this conclusion. He said he had never seen a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person. Has anybody ever seen a case of autism in an unvaccinated child? Now, unvaccinated children in the United States, there's 36 million of us, 12%. There's a number of parents out there, 12% of the people of America, do not vaccinate their children. Would you write and tell me if you've ever heard or seen a case of autism or crib death in an unvaccinated person? Ask around. Look in the literature. Check it out on Google. Because I haven't seen one. I don't think it exists. I don't think that the people who get cancer, now I don't know if this doctor's ever been checked out, and whether or not the American Cancer Society or anybody else has ever looked into this, but ask around and say, have you ever seen or heard of a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person? Now, there are millions of people in the United States that have never had a vaccination. I'll concede it's rare because 88% of us have had vaccinations. But there are some people out there. Now, you don't hear anybody out here researching in that group of people who are unvaccinated. You never hear of the CDC or anybody going to Nepal or Bangladesh or some backward African country where people don't have the health benefits of the Western world. And then take a look at their population and say, we have just looked at 500 children age 15 in Botswanaland who have never had a vaccination in their life, and the autism rate, the crib death rate, or the cancer rate is thus and so. They never report on that, do they? Now, you'd think that if there was no connection, they would be out front and center and say, hey, we've been checking all over the world, and autism occurs in people everywhere in the world, whether they're vaccinated or not. Check that one out. See if I'm out to lunch there. Now, does this flu vaccine really work? The flu vaccine can actually weaken your immune system and make you more predisposed to the illness. The flu vaccine, whether in the shot or nasal form, is worthless at best and should be avoided. Not only are the vaccines loaded with toxic chemicals, including mercury and aluminum, but many people come down with the flu shortly after receiving the shot. This is because it actually weakens the immune system, making the person more predisposed to the illness. Now, this flu mist has its own dangers. First, it's important to familiarize yourself with the side effects of this flu mist, which include cough, runny nose, nasal congestion, irritability, headaches, chills, muscle aches, and fever. Ironically, all of these symptoms bear striking similarities to the symptoms of the flu. So you, listen, you go in here and you get your flu shot, and then you come down with what they call side effects. You get a cough, runny nose, nasal congestion, irritability, headache, chill, muscle aches, and fever. Well, hell, isn't that the flu? You're crying out loud. Is anybody out there alert enough that they can still carry guts to a barrel? In addition, research has shown an increased risk of Bell palsy following intranasal flu vaccination. That's according to the Global Advisory Committee on Vaccine Safety. The makers of the nasal flu vaccine in the study decided not to market it the following season due to the risk. According to the Global Advisory Committee on Vaccine Safety, the greater risk of Bell palsy following immunization with the vaccine may have been due to specific vaccine components or simply to use of the intranasal administration route. It is therefore possible that such complications of vaccine administration may also apply to other nasal vaccines. The new live virus vaccine, FluMist, which is squirted up the nose, was licensed by the FDA in June of 2003 for use in healthy individuals between the ages of 5 and 50. Note the word healthy individuals. Well, why don't we use this on sick people? Well, it's pretty obvious that people that are sick have weakened immune systems. That's why they're sick. So we want to do this on people that have healthy, strong immune systems. All right. Well, that makes sense. Let's suppose that I'm selling this vaccine. And then I come up to you and I say, hey, I got this vaccine for $25. Are you healthy? And you say, yeah, God, I'm just really healthy. Good. Pay me $25 and let me shoot this live virus into your arm. You pay me the money, I shoot the live virus in, your immune system can thwart it, and you don't get sick. And I say, see, now the reason that you didn't get the flu is because of my vaccination. Now, that didn't prove anything. It proved that your immune system was strong enough to ward it off. And now that is the perfect sale, absolute perfect sale. Now, if I give you the shot and you get sick, I say, well, imagine how sick you would have got if you hadn't had the flu. I mean, it could have killed you. I saved your life. See how this reasoning goes in circles? It doesn't prove their point, doesn't prove their case. But what it is, it's the salesmanship. I mean, these people are master salesmen. I don't argue with that. Hell, I'm a salesman. I'm not begrudging these people. They're selling their vaccines. It's just that the product that they're selling kills 36,000 people a year. Well, 36,000 people are going to die from the flu this year, and we're going to hype these people up and get a whole lot more to get vaccinated, which is going to kill a whole lot more because there's a certain percentage of them that can't handle it. So in the first broadcast, I showed you the answer to that. 135 children were vaccinated, and 43% of them died. If you hadn't vaccinated those 135 children, 135 of them wouldn't have died, at least that 135. Now, it is true that vaccination does not kill very many people, and that's why they're able to get away with it. I mean, if you vaccinated somebody and he died, every single time you'd stop vaccinating. I mean, few people could figure that out. So they vaccinate 50 million children a year, and out of 50 million children, only 135 of them die. Well, that's because basically children have pretty strong immune systems. They're young yet. Their immune systems are functioning. It's the perfect sale because you haven't put enough in there to hurt them or kill them. But they're getting out of hand now. See, we started with two vaccines in 1932. We're up to 35 today, and they're out to get 50 by the year 2020. Now, each one of these vaccines has thimerosal, formaldehyde, and aluminum. And so in 1943, one kid out of about 100,000 would come down with autism. Then by 1970, it was about 1 in 10,000, and then it got down to about 1 in 1,000. Today, it's 1 in 66 or 65. Still, you know, it's an acceptable level because if you do 1 million children, let's just try it, 1 million children divided by 65, that's 15,384. So 15,000 will come down with autism. And then, of course, we'll deny that the vaccine had anything to do with the autism. There's no proof that the autism and the vaccine had any connection. Now, common sense would tell you that if we really wanted to make the connection, we'd start looking around the world at people that aren't vaccinated because the theory has been advanced. And the last time I heard, they said they're going to take the thimerosal out of the vaccines in California. I'll see if I can research that, find out what the results have been. I mean, most people think it's the mercury that's in the vaccines. And, of course, Dick Armey went into the Congress in 2002 with a writer on a bill to exonerate all of the vaccine companies that turn out the vaccine. You can no longer sue them for wrongful death. They've set up a government tax paid for slush fund, and you can get a few thousand bucks for your kid if he comes down with that. I think it's autism. If he dies from SIDS, maybe you can get a little something from it. I don't know. That's the moral to the story. The government, working with the pharmaceutical companies, working with the AMA and the news media, have created a god-awful big business. I showed you the other day, it was worth $43 billion a year. Every year. I mean, this is a, you talk about a cash cow, we're talking around $50 billion a year in round numbers, just year in and year out. And it's good money, and nobody wants to give up that cash cow. Hey, I got to give you a reminder here at the midway point that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and the biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by pre-arrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, go to our website and download it directly. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. In the Law Hour, an editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and editorial review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're asking the question, should you get vaccinated for the swine flu this year? All right, in addition, research has shown an increased risk of Bell palsy following this transnasal flu vaccination. This new live virus vaccine called Flu Mist, which is squirted up the nose, was licensed by the FDA in June of 2003 for use in healthy individuals between the ages of 5 and 50. It isn't recommended for pregnant women or those with asthma, chronic lung or heart disease, chronic underlying medical conditions such as diabetes or kidney disorders, immune suppression, or immune system problems. Notice that. If your immune system isn't in functioning condition, we don't recommend that you do this, take this shot. Why is that? See, medical science is not ignorant concerning immune systems. Your body has an immune system. And it's a pretty complex set of organs, you know, that go together. You've got lymph nodes, and you've got an appendix, and you've got tonsils and adenoids. And you got all these organs in here that are designed to keep you healthy, to ward off disease, to get poisons out of your body. I mean, if you take a poison in, your body's designed to get rid of it. And this immune system over here can be compromised. It can get overtaxed and overloaded. And then when something comes by, you're unable to ward it off. If you're really weak, you die. And if you're just weak, you get sick. And if you're strong, nothing happens. And it goes without saying that if you could be strong, that's the place you want to be, isn't it? Well, every one of these vaccines debilitates your immune system to some degree. And it is weakening your immune system to some degree. Well, by the time you've given 35 shots to your 5-year-old, his immune system ain't near what it ought to be. And by the time you get him up to 50 shots, I mean, we're getting to a point here where we're just about ready to guarantee that this kid's gonna get sick and die here. I mean, there's a limit. Let me ask you this. If 35 shots are good, well, wouldn't 70 shots be twice as good? And if 70 shots are twice as good, wouldn't 140 shots be even better? Now, if you're putting 25 UGs of mercury into your kid with each shot, let's see, that's 25 times 35 is 875 UGs. If we gave him twice that much, it'd be 1750. Do you think shooting your kid up with 875 or 1750 of these UG units of mercury is good for your child? Now, one time a guy said, well, I went in and asked my pediatrician if he could find the vaccine that didn't have the thimerosal in it, and he said he could. Well, what in the hell makes you think that a guy that's giving these shots is gonna get the vaccine that doesn't have the thimerosal in it? Is it because he told you so? Now, get this. Robert Mendelson spilled the beans on the pediatricians of America some years back. Pediatricians, those are baby doctors. Here in this country, Americans take their children to the pediatrician. Okay. 90% of pediatricians do not vaccinate their own children. Now, boys and girls, when you have a whole profession, I mean, there's thousands of these pediatricians out there, 90% do not vaccinate their own children. They're hypocrites in the extreme. They're vaccinating your kid and taking the money. And they're not vaccinating their kid because they know it's a danger. Now, it is true that you're only given autism to 15,000 out of a million. And that's a small percentage. What is that percentage here, just for funsies? It's 1 out of 60. And so if I just plugged in a 1 here, divided by 65. See, it's only 0.01538%. 1.5% come down with autism. So it's a very small portion, isn't it? But if you're that one, and even if you're that 0.5%, and your kid's got autism, by God, that is a lifelong debility. And that is bad news. So tuck it away in your heart. Now, each year, a new vaccine is developed that contains three different viruses, one influenza B and two influenza A strains. Now, the CDC officials select the new viruses based on which viruses were prevalent during the flu season in China and Australia the previous year. So the CDC admits that the viruses selected for the new vaccine this year are chosen on the basis of an educated guess based upon what we observed last year. And so all they're doing is giving you a guess. Now, they're out here selling the vaccine, but they're guessing as to whether it's going to be effective. Now, the truth of the matter is these vaccines aren't effective anyway. That's another myth. That's another story. So what's in this flu shot? Well, the influenza virus is grown in specific pathogen-free eggs. Eggs are tested for a variety of agents, usually between 23 and 31 agents, to confirm the absence of those specific pathogens. Laboratories limit the number of agents that are screened due to the sheer abundance of potential viruses and/or bacteria to choose from. In addition, screening for every potential agent would be cost prohibitive. If none of the tested agents are detected, the vaccine is reported as pathogen-free. However, it should be understood that there is a distinct difference between pathogen-free and specific pathogen-free. So in its July 1996 report, the Institute of Medicine acknowledged that although it is not possible to produce a completely uncontaminated animal, it is possible to produce an animal or egg certified to be free of specific pathogens. Viruses that are harmless to their animal host, however, may be potentially harmful to humans. Now, during the manufacturing process, antibiotics, neomycin, polymyxin, B and gentamicin are added to eliminate stray bacteria found in the mixture. Now, the final solution can't contain the following additives in any combination: Triton X100, a detergent, polysorbate 80, a potential carcinogen, gelatin, formaldehyde, residual egg proteins. In addition to many of the influenza vaccines still contain thimerosal as a preservative. Thimerosal, which is mercury, is being investigated for its link to brain injury and autoimmune disease. Now, here, does the flu shot protect you? Well, there are no guarantees that the influenza viruses selected for the vaccine will be the identical strains circulating during any given flu season. In fact, it has recently been announced that this year's flu vaccine does not include the strain that is being reported by doctors in the community called the A fugin strain. Outbreaks have been reported in Texas, Colorado, and elsewhere that involve strains that do not match the current flu vaccine. CDC tests have confirmed that more than 80% of the 55 strains of influenza virus isolated thus far are the A fugin strain. Even so, the CDC still maintains that the current vaccine could provide cross-protection against the new variant, but the fact is that nobody knows for sure. So the odds are 55 to 1 on vaccination. 55 to 1. That's because there's 55 strains of influenza virus. And then what's the chances of that being in the vaccine? 1 out of 55. Now, moreover, the majority of illnesses characterized by fever, fatigue, cough and aching muscles are not caused by the influenza virus. Non-influenza viruses, called rhinoviruses, respiratory syncytial virus, adenoviruses, and parainfluenza viruses can cause symptoms referred to as influenza-like illnesses. They're called ILIs. Certain bacteria such as Legionella, Champia, pneumonia, and four or five more, Streptococcus pneumonia, have been documented as the causes of this ILI. So another factor comes in here. You may come down with these symptoms and say, well, I had the flu. You didn't have the flu at all. You had an influenza-like illness. Now here's Alzheimer's disease. Remember Hugh Feudenberg, MD, an immunogeneticist, with nearly 850 papers published in peer-reviewed journals, and reported that if you have five consecutive flu shots between 1970 and 1980, the years that were studied, your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease is 10 times higher than if you had no shots. Now, I've mentioned that to you two or three times. Alzheimer's disease, it's thought, is caused by a neurotoxin called thimerosal. And there's a link, or people think that there's a link between autism and thimerosal. It would be easy to prove. All you have to do is start looking at populations of people that have never had these vaccines and then take a look at them and see if they've got Alzheimer's or they've got autism. If they do, then there's no connecting link, and if they don't, then there is. You can prove it. But they don't. They don't want to know the answer. My God, if we ever found the answer, well, you people would stop buying vaccines. But we don't want that, do we? Dr. Boyd Haley, professor and chair of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Kentucky in Lexington, has done extensive research in the area of mercury toxicity and the brain. Haley's research has established a likely connection between mercury toxicity and Alzheimer's disease. In a paper published in collaboration with researchers at the University of Calgary, Haley stated that seven of the characteristic markers that we look for to distinguish Alzheimer's disease can be produced in normal brain tissues or cultures of neurons by addition of extremely low levels of mercury. This mercury is a deadly toxin. So does this prove that the mercury contained in the influenza shot can be directly linked to Alzheimer's? No, not at all. We're not claiming that. But further research in this area is critically needed because of the absence of proof is not the proof of absence. That's why I said this is easily proved. And what we need to do is to go to Nepal or Botswana land. Just go anyplace. Go up to Alaska where people don't get vaccinated. Go to Siberia. Go to Mongolia. And then take a look and see, well, how many autistic children do you have in the population? No vaccines, no autism. No vaccines, no sudden infant death syndrome. That would prove my case, wouldn't it? All right, now, the people at the CDC, the FDA, the American Medical Association have a vested interest. You can rest assured that they're not going to do that. They do not want any evidence that's going to show their product as a bad product. And that makes all the sense in the world. I wouldn't expect them to. But then the rest of us out here, you know, they're asking us to buy the product. And then I've just read two papers here, too. And this is just two papers. I got probably 50 more of these papers, you know. And you can pull these off the internet. Here, take this report here. www.advancedhealthplan.com. It's like a flu shots. Can you do that? www.advancedhealthplan.com. I probably have 50 of these in my files that I've collected over the years, in addition to a number of books. I say number. I got three books on. One of them here is called The Poison Needle, published back in 1974. Eustace Mullins published one, Death by Injection, or something like that. Murder by Injection, I think that's what he called it. Murder by Injection. Eustace Mullins, that's two. Sure, they're a minority. I don't deny that. This is a minority of people, 12%, but it's a pretty sizable minority. Out of 300 million Americans, you get 36 million of us over here screaming like gut-shot banshees that, hey, we're not going. We're not taking the shot. Now, let's suppose that you're working, say, you know, at Ford Motor Company, and the Ford company says you can't come to work without your vaccine. You got to have your shot. Wait a minute. Did you know that there's exceptions for religious objectors? Did you know that? See, the Bible is going to tell you very plainly, don't do that. So those of us that follow the scripture, you know, we're called religious objectors. Now, I'll explain this one to you. Let's suppose you walk in and you say, I'm a religious objector and I don't want this vaccine. They're going to say, well, what is your religion? And you're going to say Catholic. And they're going to say, dead on arrival, roll up your sleeve. Why is it? Well, because Catholics don't have any objection to vaccines. The Catholics have hospitals, for crying out loud. Doctors, priests, policies. So the minute that you say that you're a Catholic, now if you said you're a Scientologist or maybe a Jehovah's Witness, or, and you could belong to some little group over here. Now, of course, they're going to say, okay, well, then bring in your proof, bring in your membership card of the Jehovah's Witnesses or of the Christian Science or whatever you belong to. And, of course, you don't belong to any of those, so you're dead in the water again, aren't you? So all you Catholics, Protestants, and Jews, just shut up and roll up your sleeve. That's the bottom line. Now, a religious objector has to come under the doctrine in Seeger versus United States, Seeger versus U.S., and that's cited at 380 U.S. 163. Just jot that down in your notes here. Seeger, S-E-E-G-E-R, versus U.S., 380 U.S. 163. It's on page number 163. Now, in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court set out 10, 5 winning and 5 losing standards for religious free exercise. Now, you could also get a medical exemption. If you walked into your doctor and said, oh my God, doc, my immune system is so weak, give me a letter to exempt me from vaccination at my office or my job because it's going to kill me. If he'll do that, that'll save you. In some states, you can have a personal objection, and you can advance your personal objection. Only 2 states won't listen to you. That's Mississippi and West Virginia. You'll have to get a court order there. So you walk in and you tell them, well, one of the 3, medical, personal isn't going to help you. It'd be one of the 2. It'd be medical or religious objection. You'll have to testify. You'll have to get a court order. And that'll take you a little skill. Might actually have to hire an attorney to do it. Now, that's only for people that are serious about avoiding this vaccination. Now, you know, if you're not serious, just shut up and roll up your sleeve. And if it doesn't kill you, you know, well, then you're all right. And if it does, well, then that's the breaks of the game. All right, I'm going to cut it off right there, and we'll pick it up right there next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review, talking about vaccination, the swine flu vaccine. We'll take a look at this thing of how to avoid that as we progress along. Meanwhile, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience in the Law Hours, an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Yeah, time's up. I've got to leave it right there. See you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.